There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for checking us out here before the snow returns to the Twin Cities. Drive with those lights on. Be careful out there. Drive slowly and listen to Lori and Julia.
That's
the best way to get home.
Thank you. You know, it was the weirdest thing that I've seen, a little traffic on the roads. Like yesterday, driving home from work, there hasn't been a traffic jam since March.
Right.
It was so weird to see cars on the road, you know?
But yet, lovely.
I was so happy. I'm like, are you listening to my talk, please?
Right.
Please, please, please.
Julia did come up with another casting grandmother for Cardi B's starring role in Assisted Living. I think she's onto something.
Rita Moreno.
Yeah, perfect, too. And we know she's doing it from one day at a time.
Yes, she is. She's still acting. Anywho, all right, so let's get to it.
The SAG Awards have moved their dates because they got big-footed by the Grammys, even though the SAG Awards had moved their January date last July and they changed it to March 14th. The Grammys, who are bad planners, they realize a month before, LA is really, COVID is, you know, the hospitals, everything. They're just really on overload there. And then they picked the SAG dates. And Roger Friedman is saying none of these shows are going to have red carpets.
No.
Or audiences.
No.
So just, know that. But anyway, they moved the date, Jules.
Yeah, and they've
already moved it to Easter Sunday, April 4th.
Which is just,
but they figure, I guess, I don't know, that Easter is going to be once again, you know, different again. Or past,
I'm not
whatever.
Going there.
Yeah, so anyway, they staggered it to April 4th, so they caved.
Yeah, to let the Grammys take their date.
Yeah.
And I also think, not just caving, they're pushing it back to give themselves more of an opportunity. Maybe more vaccines are going to be out there, maybe better. There's a better chance of having
the vaccines at Disneyland.
I know, but how many do they have to do? Where are they getting all the vaccine?
Well, every state, depending on what your population, you got to buy different things. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, so that changed. Armie Hammer lost a job. He's out of the Jennifer Lopez movie called Shotgun Wedding. He was going to play her fiance. Right. Roger Friedman said this movie should have been called Cougar Wedding. And Armie's in trouble because of social media posts. His response has been terrible. Now
really,
he's
lashing out at everyone.
Yeah, he released a nutty statement to the Daily Mail, and then he said that he can't leave his four children or his children right now for 4 months to shoot a movie in the Dominican Republic, and Lionsgate is supporting me. Well, J-Lo doesn't want him in her movie, and I think I don't even like the casting two together.
Well, you know, I don't like it at all.
Mm-mm.
So I'm okay with him being gone.
Yeah.
I'm so okay with it. All right, so.
But he is going to, here's something he is doing.
Okay.
There is a mini series about the making of The Godfather for Paramount Television, and it's called The Offer.
Okay.
Because no one could refuse it, even Armie Hammer. You know, anyway, Holly might bring us some stuff on the Armie Hammer. As predicted yesterday, there is a story in the LA Times. Someone has come forward with receipts and a very disturbing story. So,
well, you know, all right. So there's two Kate Winslet stories out today.
Oh.
Did you see either of them?
I didn't.
One of them was about Alan Rickman. And if you remember who he was in the Harry Potter franchise. He was in Love Actually. He was
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Love him.
Love him. But he died 5 years ago today of pancreatic cancer. Another one. Jeez. Mm-hmm. And she said he was such a... Kate Winslet worked with him on Sense and Sensibility in 1995.
Yes.
And she was so young when she did that. And she just said... In an interview, they asked her about it. She just said he was the most amazing man. And when he got all that, the landfall of money from the Harry Potter movies, he would make sure everyone in a restaurant's bill was paid. He'd just take care of everything wherever that he went. Oh, and he just not,
fun.
You know, wouldn't let anyone really know it was him. And just kind of, see, I thought that'd be so much fun. I was thinking of what we would do for First Avenue, if we could do this, you know, or for all of our actor friends and our musician friends, just pay, you know, I just think this would be so much fun. That was one of my Powerball lottery dreams.
Fantasies.
That was one of them. But so Kate Winslet is being interviewed right now, and she's talking about her role in the Titanic.
Oh. And is she promoting the Shell Collector movie?
I don't even know. There's nothing about that in here. It was just kind of, this is pulled from a conversation she had with Mark Marcon, Marins. Mm-hmm. And she said about, you know, being famous at 21 overnight with the Titanic. She said she was bullied. I was subjected to so much personal, physical scrutiny, and I was criticized so much. The British tabloid was so unkind to me. I remember thinking, okay, this is horrible, and I hope it passes. If this is what being famous is, I just think it's so horrible. I'm not ready for it. And when she was...
This is why she has all this sympathy for Meghan Markle.
Yes, she does. And she said when she was younger, when she was 14, she was told by a drama teacher that she might do okay if she was okay with settling with playing the happy fat girl parts.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is what her drama teacher told her. And she said, so what I always feel in the moments is that any young woman who's been put down by a teacher, a friend, a parent, don't listen to any of it. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I did. I didn't listen to anything. And she said, I was still learning how to act. When she was 17, she felt like she was ready to act. But when... She just went to the overnight success in Titanic. It was too much for her. So she went back and just did small roles. She said, I can't handle it. It's just too much. But, and you know, she's the one who came out with the no retouching policy. Remember, in all of her, her ads that she does, she says, quit retouching my face.
Well, don't you remember? I think that wasn't that a thing?
Her photo campaigns. It was her that suggested it.
Oh,
in her photo campaigns.
Because they made that be a thing in England.
Yes, it did.
In the ads. Yeah, but they have to say if they're retouched.
But she said she won't let anyone because she was a spokesperson for Revlon, wasn't she? Or what was she for? Lancome.
I don't know. Yeah.
And she didn't want to be retouched. But anyways, I know she's in something right now, you know, but anyway. I think it's, you know, interesting.
I remember that there were people like, oh, she looks too much older than him.
She did look so much older than Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, I always thought.
Face.
He had such a baby face.
But, you know, they were trying to, I don't know. I never really thought about it, except for the fact that I do remember that, like, people were mean about her figure. And I was just like, I thought she had an amazing figure.
She had an amazing figure.
Yeah, I was just like, she looked so great in those dresses.
She did, because she was voluptuous.
She has like that beautiful skin and eyes. She just looked like exactly the character of Rose. She looked like a girl named Rose.
She did look like a Rose, didn't she? And then Ben Affleck today is kind of talking about his Bennifer relationship when he was in
what is he promoting?
I don't know.
Darkwater isn't out yet.
It's awards chat or podcast about his movie The Way Back, because he might be up for some stuff because The Way Back came out this year. His basketball coach, he's not gonna be whatever. But there,
did you like that movie? Did anyone
I kind of did. I thought it was a 6 out of 10. It wasn't horrible, but I expected more. And he's talking about his relationship with Jennifer that ended.
Whoa, he never talks about
that. No, and so he said that people were so bleeping mean about her. Sexist, racist, ugly, vicious crap was written about her in ways that if you wrote it now, you would literally be fired for saying the things you said. She was lionized. It was just terrible. And he goes on to say that back in the day, he gets so criticized now if he leaves his house to go do something because the paparazzi still hide in his bushes and stuff. And he's like, yeah. I'm not going for a pap walk. I'm leaving my house. And these people are there taking pictures of me all the time. But they just talked about how much worse it was because no matter what, there was no internet. There was no social media at the time when they were in their relationship. And if you remember, they canceled their wedding like a month before it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Oh, do I ever?
Yes. And so
that was huge.
Jennifer Lopez, we're talking about, and Ben Affleck.
I mean, it was days before. Yeah, no, it was like 3 days before. I do think it would be interesting to like look back and see like what some of that, you know, what the language was in describing them. But I remember you and I talking about it, and I remember us thinking that he did not seem to be her type
at all. Because she went from Diddy.
But she didn't have a type.
She didn't.
We come to
You're
find
right.
out that J-Lo does not have a type.
She was married like six times to different dancer, like a chef,
yeah,
or this.
I like that she's done like kind of lots of different things, but they were just an odd couple, and I couldn't really tell you why we didn't think they were great together, but we were in
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez.
He never looked as good. He never looked as good as he did when he was with her.
Well, he had his teeth fixed after that.
But
though.
Julia, no, he looked so good. She had him in suits, slicked
back.
Yeah,
she did.
And then they did that weird Entertainment Tonight interview or NBC with the Today Show.
On a houseboat in Toronto.
And they were like cooking together.
And making some weird.
I was having secondhand embarrassment for both of them.
Don't you vividly remember it? So they started going out in 2002. Yes. They got engaged in 2002. They postponed their wedding days before they were set to walk down the aisle in 2003.
That could be a vintage scandal
and
to dive into.
By 2004.
Yeah.
They were getting married in Atlanta.
That's vintage.
Yeah. Look at that's how long we've been on the air.
I give that to you for next Wednesday.
Go deep, Julia. I'm not. All right, I'll keep the story.
On shanty talk.
All right. That's right. You guys start doing the lyrics. All right. Well, we got the dirt alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Holly.
Hi, Holly. Good afternoon, ladies.
Are we not getting as much snow? Is that the idea? Is that what's happening?
Not necessarily. Okay. This is going to be, you know, there's a winter storm warning in effect for some of the southern metro, and we're all under a winter storm watch. It's kind of coming in waves.
All right, good.
And so I think that hopefully, because it's coming in waves over the next 36 hours, it will be fairly manageable.
All right, good.
Yeah, and good. And it's not super cold outside. It's wet. It's sloppy. But you, like Rocco said at the top of the hour, turn on your headlights and, you know, take it easy.
Right.
We fall for the weather woodies. I was excited.
I'm ready for a storm. I get excited.
Well, maybe it's just a weather semi, you know. So, let's talk about Army Hammer again.
Yes. Well, we have to. We talked about it yesterday and we've got to keep. More is happening.
More is happening, and it's so gross.
Oh, yes, because Armie Hammer's ex-girlfriend is now dishing the dirt on her experience with Armie Hammer and the type of language he liked to use in their relationship. So you might be asking yourself, well, hey, how the heck could he already have an ex-girlfriend? Now, apparently, Armie Hammer and this woman, I'm just going to call her Courtney V, they hooked up over the summer, and she's talking to Page Six here in the United States, and she's talking to The Sun in the UK about her relationship with him, where he would say such things as, quote, he said to me he wants to break my rib and barbecue and eat it.
Well, is he just joking?
No.
I feel like Lori said that to me before.
We know from his own social media and numerous interviews that have happened over the years that he is a guy who likes and has expressed that he likes BDSM relationships. But the way this woman is telling the stories and these leaked DMs that came out is that he misrepresents himself. He gets into this charming place with you, and then before you know it, you're doing things maybe you're not agreeing to do. He's not following the sub-dom I don't want to get into a lot of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like there is a contract.
There's a protocol.
There's a protocol for this, and he's a big red flag.
All right, got it.
Yeah, because if you're going to be dabbling in that kind of stuff, it has to be consensual, and that has, the rules need to be established, I would think, for that kind of stuff, because Courtney V is saying that she was traumatized by all this. Now she is telling The Sun and the Daily Mail.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts, and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
That she was traumatized by these messages. She said they were weird. Courtney V also says Armie Hammer sent her messages like, quote, I want to take a bite out of you. And she goes on to say, if I had a little cut on my hand, he would suck it or lick it.
Yeah, the biggest problem for Armie is the fact that now the LA Times has reported on this. He's pulled out of a movie because J-Lo doesn't want him to be in it opposite her. And apparently several women from this private, anyway, several women approached Elizabeth Chambers through her social medias, giving her proof of
the overlap,
saying that he had the permission of his wife to engage in this relationship.
Okay, got it.
So it could even be coming from Elizabeth.
Got it.
Sure, because, you know, their entity lawyer, the Blind Items from CrazyDaysAndNights.net, he's been writing about Armie Hammer for years. And also in some of these blind items over on CrazyDaysAndNights.net, just do keyword search Armie Hammer, and all of them will show up, the ones that are quote-unquote confirmed, is that Elizabeth Chambers was into a lot of stuff. Like, apparently they were exhibitionists and liked to get hot and heavy in the bathroom of public places and go into offices and make messes and stuff. So I feel like maybe perhaps there was a certain amount of knowledge in this kind of behavior and participation. But, you know, we can only speculate at this point. But now we just have cannibal Armie Hammer headlines.
But no, he's come out and made a statement, you know, I'm not responding to these and then he says swear word claims, but in light of the vicious and spurious online attacks against me, I cannot in good conscience now leave my children. Well, geez, he left his children in the Cayman Islands like last summer for months and months to go to L.A.
Right.
So
yeah, well, that excuse is crap. He's just using his children as a defense mechanism, as a shield to deflect from all of this. I mean, that I feel is pretty fresh on Armie Hammer's behalf.
But now media outlets are going through, and there's a lot of stuff. And I think that people also are worried about him.
Well, I think so, too. He sounds like a big partier, too. Yeah, he sounds like he's in trouble. I think he's going to go to rehab.
Yeah,
you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For just like to go away for a while.
If you read that woman from Page Six, she's just like, you know, that's a classic way that someone who will be emotionally abusive is they do get you to really fall for them. And then they're the I love you, I hate you. And then they're talking you into it's just he's got it down and he's so charming and good looking and has his own money, right? He's got money outside of acting.
Yes, he is the descendant of billionaires.
Yeah, okay.
So he is.
Is he always called the cleaning A-minus movie star and NT lawyer? They have kind of a funny code name for him.
Yes, they call him the cleaning product actor. So anytime
there you go.
You read that, that's going to be Armie Hammer. But yeah, he's independently wealthy.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, perhaps he has had a life where, you know, he can move about the world with the minimal consequences.
Yeah. Well, and this could be coming from Elizabeth, too.
That very well could be the case. You know? Oh, so much gossip around this.
So it isn't just like the whole, like, there's a bigger story here going on.
Yeah. Let's talk about Kevin Costner.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
He is suing his fellow Dances with Wolves and The Bodyguard producer, movies that came out 30 years ago, in a dispute over a company that they set up nearly three decades ago and was looking to end. So this is an argument over The Good Ones production. Kevin Costner launched this back in 1992, and so he's suing his longtime business partner, And his failure to give up rights to the company that Costner was looking to wind down last year. So in this lawsuit, Kevin Costner is claiming his business partner named Jim Wilson refused to sign away his stake in Good Ones production. And they go back all the way to 1983.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder what happened between these two.
Yeah, because Jim Wilson directed Kevin Costner's first lead role in a movie. And that was for the movie called Stacy's Nights. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No, never saw it.
I had not heard of it until now. But Costner, you know, he's really cordial in the suit in as much as he can. He said he would never forget the opportunity that Wilson provided to him. But, you know, it's kind of like, hey, like, let's wrap up our business partnership here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they produced quite a few movies together, but it looks like they haven't done anything for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently it's kind of holding up some of the business opportunities that Kevin Costner wants to move forward with.
Hello, Yellowstone. Which is that's on reruns on BBC America.
Oh, really?
Yes. So if you get that channel, Yellowstone is airing. And I couldn't believe that when I came across that. Looking for something.
Well, fabulous. I mean, what better thing to stumble across than Kevin Costner out in the Rocky Mountains?
Oh, I love him.
On BBC America.
I love him.
You know, people are that show is a very bingeable show.
Yes,
for
it
people
is.
Who haven't watched, like Julie and I watched it in real time every
loved
season,
it.
And it was like our weekly show. But a lot of people have discovered that in the binging world.
Oh, yeah. Like what to watch? Let's watch Kevin Costner in a cowboy hat. Finally, exclusively at Page Six, they're reporting that maybe the Real Housewives of Miami is going to be coming back and that they are in talks with Phil Collins's ex-wife, Orianne Cevey, to be in the cast.
Okay. We know Kris Jenner works hard, but Andy Cohen's working pretty hard if he makes that happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Really? That would... Okay.
So, we don't know. I don't know.
And your theory is?
Well, this isn't my theory. This
Are you sure?
This is Jorge Olivieras, and Brian Bradford was kind enough to pass along the good question here.
Who are these people?
It doesn't matter. Well, you know Brian, but you don't know Jorge, but here's the question.
Okay.
Where is the theory? Is Armie Hammer going to be the Richard Gere without the gerbil?
Gerbil?
Remember that?
Oh,
story?
Yes.
And you would meet people.
And they would
say, oh, I know
I worked
the nurse.
At Regions or, when he was in there.
Right. Now, I met somebody in California. I was like, oh, yeah, my friend of mine was the nurse at Cedars-Sinai.
Yep.
And I'm like, you're like the fifth person.
People spun that gerbil story forever.
Yeah. Rocco, you probably don't even know that story.
The Richard Gere and the gerbil.
You do know it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was
he's
so
been
ridiculous.
Around the block.
It was so ridiculous, you know.
So you think?
Well, I knew for sure when I did hear from two different people in two different cities that their friend was the nurse or the doctor or whatever. I'm like, that is now an urban legend.
It was such a big one.
Okay.
It really was.
Okay, so here is a theory, and the theory is, and I want to say. I want to say, like, for me, that I realized with my one nephew who was such, and I'm talking about when he would have been in seventh grade, and he was just a nerd for the Colbert Report. And he loved it because I remember he told me once, Dooney, it's news and comedy, and you have to kind of think to know the difference. And I just really love it. I mean, he loved the Colbert Report. So the study comes out.
When he used to be in Comedy Central.
Yeah. It was published in, and I love the Journal of Communications. I look forward to getting this. I just.
You got a degree in it.
I have. Yes, Julia, I majored.
You're able to use your degree.
So I get this free of charge as a University of Minnesota Duluth graduate. Don't ask me how I got on the list that they, but anyway. So
you're a famous alum, Lori.
Oh, yeah, right.
Call Lori. She wants to be in your Hall of Fame.
No. But anyway, it was a study that they did. They had a group of 18 to 34-year-olds watch a collection of news clips. Some ended with jokes while others did not. And then they were doing MRI brain scans on each participant and then asked them afterwards, what did they remember from watching the news clips?
Okay.
And then which of the things would you share? And what they found out is that mixing humor with news makes young adults more likely to remember it, want to return to it, want to watch it. And we have kind of seen that evolution. If you look at like what Trevor Noah's show.
Sure.
And where
Comedy Central,
of,
The Daily Show started it.
Yes, yes.
That, with Jon Stewart.
That humor makes things that are socially relevant maybe more important and also less scary. And it is in particularly works at that like 18 to
34-year-old age group.
34-year-old.
They don't want the hard news. They want the news, but they want it with a sense of humor.
And also it's because, according to this study, with what they did, is that humor stimulates a part in your brain that also is involved with your social engagement. It's also your memory. It's also the place, you know, you would facts and things that you would mm-hmm. remember. And if you laugh about something that is serious, even if it's political or whatever, it makes you more likely to share that with somebody.
Okay.
As a thing. So,
all right.
Anyway, that's why a lot of entertainment-based media has become an important source of political news for young people.
All right.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Okay, there's that. Now this I just thought was real, real interesting. And I'm not going to lie, Julia, I do not rapidly turn, you know, and turn the pages or jump up in joy when I get the journal Frontiers in Human Neuroscience there.
Oh my gosh.
So many big words. Rocco.
Right.
You can't even imagine.
It's kind of a snoozer.
Yeah. Well, it's not a snoozer. There's good stories.
Oh.
But you got to work.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
They don't give you the bullet points.
No, Julia, this one, oh, good. But did you ever hear that? Would your mom ever say anything like, takes more muscles to frown than to smile? Or, you know,
yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah.
Or kind of like, you know, all these little, you know, sayings. But, okay, so here is the study that goes along with this. This is from Yale University. And it reveals that it takes more of your brain to argue with someone than it does to agree.
Well, 100%, you have to be sharp on your feet to argue.
Yeah.
Point, counterpoint. You got to have something to come back with.
But what they want to do, our entire brain is a social processing network.
Okay.
Think about that. The whole thing, which is, you know, it just is. And it takes a lot more brain real estate to disagree than to agree. Which is why the age old vice, you know, sometimes don't talk politics or religion, mm-hmm. you know. At a
family thing
or at a family thing or in a social thing, because you are going to have to use so much more brain real estate in what is not meant to be at that time, maybe that occasion.
And that's why if you have a friend or someone you know or a family member that's always disagreeable, you just agree because you just don't even want to bother.
Exactly.
I don't even want to bother.
Exactly.
I agree with you 100%. Whatever you say, even if I know it's wrong, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. And they did.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. They did one political example mm-hmm. and then one, should marijuana be legalized? And they did the brain thing,
right?
You know, to scan the brain.
And what they there's found, a lot of scans out there.
I know. Well, they love to do and see what
yep.
lights up.
Sure.
You know, these neuroscientists and their little probing
it's
wands.
Their little job.
And their little
their
electrodes.
Job. Lovely.
Okay, but when people agree on something, what happens, what shows on a brain scan is basically a calm and synchronized duet that they liken to like a musical duet. It's just, you're just in harmony. So, and then very different. Everything is lighting up all over the board when you don't disagree.
When you do disagree.
Or when you do disagree on something.
I totally believe this.
Yeah. So.
That's why people let things slide.
Yeah.
Just let it slide. What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. Let them be right. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. It's not going to change anything.
Yeah. So they.
Boy, there are people in your life, though, that you. That go through period. You go through periods with people. And
it's
I'm
very,
thinking maybe even my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, where they were so disagreeable. And I knew what was right. And I'm like, you're 12. You have no idea, you know. And you're mm-hmm.
Well, they were interested because in looking at, you know, just like some of the polarization that has been exaggerated by social media, or why have so many people believed that, you know, the election was rigged, you know, when mm-hmm. it wasn't, you know, it absolutely wasn't. That is a big fat lie. So why do people believe? So they're trying to understand, like, how it is in your brain. Why is this such a polarizing thing, and what goes on, and what
makes it's messages people... that you're fed.
Yeah.
It's messages. Yeah. I'm going to blame social media a lot of it, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on.
Okay. Oh, dear. Now, this one, Julia.
Rocco, do you and Meg pretty much agree on everything? Are you an easygoing couple?
You know, as far, are you like politically or just...
No, just your life. I mean, is it pretty easy, agreeable?
We, you know, we're pretty good together. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, politically, we're pretty on board together.
Right. And
we're raising our kid, we're pretty on board together.
That's the
but,
number
you know.
One thing.
The kids.
The kid.
Yeah, you got to... Yeah, that's what
that
you got to agree on.
More marriages than anything.
You got to agree
once
on.
Once they have kids, if you, all of a sudden you have two... totally different ideas about how to raise your kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're doing all right.
I dodged a baby bullet when I tried so hard to have a baby.
No,
not
you
once,
dodged
but
your
twice.
Child, your unborn child that you never even had.
Oh, joyous.
Dodged
you dodged a bullet and a bomb, as we learned yesterday.
Yeah, I dodged everything. I mean, so... You know.
You would have been a fantastic mom,
well,
Lori.
Bonus mom, I was a pretty good bonus mom.
But I mean, do you and Casey have any blow-up fights over anything? I mean, earlier on in your marriage, because I believe I was part of them.
I will say that marrying somebody who had a 10-year-old, no, they were 11 and 13.
Right.
And I knew I was going to be a cool bonus mom just because I'd had... like a couple bonus moms, a couple one bonus dad. I'd been a bonus kid. I'd been a step kid. I'd been all of the things. I didn't think I was going to have any problem with boundaries and respect. In no way, or shape, or form did I think I was anybody's mom. So I got in all kinds of trouble doing more auntie-like things, which was my instinct.
Right.
But when the kids were like in an adolescent phase of their life, let's say like... late junior high, particularly mm-hmm. with the girl, Casey was off the mark.
Right.
He was off the mark mm-hmm. in what was going on with his kids. And I was on the mark. I don't know, maybe because I was once removed. I wasn't the actual parent.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have some things where I really had to get assertive. And let me tell you, it's not easy to be assertive when you biologically...
With someone else's kids.
That's right, Julia. You don't have a damn leg sometimes to stand on.
You don't, and they will always go with the kids. Yeah.
Right, but it was more like, there's something going on, and you got to believe my sixth sense on this. That
got it.
So, you know, I don't know where we're going with this, but... Somewhere.
Well, that was maybe a little bit of an argument stage for you guys. It was when you argued a little bit more.
Yeah, we disagreed mm-hmm. on that.
Yep.
We disagreed on how to handle that. Mm-hmm. So, if we'd had...
And a lot of people just, like you said, just take areas and just like, we're not even going to talk about that. It's too volatile.
I know I could not, I couldn't be married to somebody who politically was my polar opposite.
Your polar opposite, right.
That wouldn't work for me.
Right.
That wouldn't work for me. I wouldn't be able to give up the sexy time in any way, shape, or form. I would be reluctant, and there would be very few, there'd be few bartering sessions going on.
Got it.
You know?
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people, you lose your, you know.
I think everyone has a different thing that's their hot button.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
Some people could be money. Some people
you never find out about that
laziness.
One until it's too late.
Some people it could be, you know,
the money one is,
you know, they eat too much or don't eat enough. You know, everyone has different hot buttons, so you never know.
Anyway, all right. Well, that's what we have for theories today.
We learned nothing.
We mixed humor with news.
Humor
makes
news.
Young adults more likely to remember it and want to be involved with it, and the brain.
Just agree with her, Julia. It'll be easier on your
brain.
That's
right.
Disagreeing with someone uses more brain real estate than
really,
agreeing. So don't tell me we didn't learn something.
I'm sorry. I would agree with you. We learned so much.
You did the repeat of your random thoughts today. What? We're on like a Thursday. You can tell we just can't wait for Friday. That's what it is, basically.
Is it?
I'm going to Hollywood speak us right now. Yes, it is. It's this whole show.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay, yeah, we kind of peaked on Wednesday.
That's right.
We'll but we're coming back tomorrow.
That's right.
We can't be, fired all cylinders every day.
Word.
Word. Okay. We'll be right back, sister.
What's going on with Wild Styles, I wonder? I didn't see any pictures of them anywhere. Nothing going on with that couple.
Lori, it's been like 18 hours since we've seen a photo. You want to just see it.
Here's a little alert for music lovers.
Okay.
They might have seen this band at the Grandstand in 2019. The band called Why Don't We?
Oh, we know them.
Yes, we do. I alerted the niece who's crazy about them. They are on GMA tomorrow.
Oh, they are. Okay, you told Claire.
Okay. I told Claire, yeah. So anyway, and what else? Oh, Patrick Dempsey is making Enchanted fans' wish come true by returning alongside Amy Adams in the sequel, Disenchanted.
Yes.
And Enchanted came out all the way back in 2007.
We took my kids.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. I love that movie. Rocco, have you ever seen that?
No.
Which one?
Enchanted.
No.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say
Disney.
No.
Yeah. What was her name, Anna? What was her name?
Amy Adams.
No, I know, but what was her character? Giselle.
Yeah.
Giselle, and then the beautiful guy was in it, too, that we like so much. Oh, but James Marsden. James Marsden. Was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah.
It's a fun show. That show makes you happy.
It does.
That movie.
And then Holly posted Dua Lipa covers Rolling Stone.
Right.
And she is just looking like a pop star. Really a wild, she's like, you know, look how Miley Cyrus, you're not the only one who does rock star
babe. That's right.
And so that's kind of good. Also, we did a little... Holly posted a thing. Look back at some of the amazing pictures of Siegfried and Roy with Siegfried passing away today. It's kind of, they really did have manes of hair to match their animals.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And speaking of manes of hair, of course, Barry Gibb, anyone who watches the documentary about the brothers, those guys had manes. Rocco, you could be a Gibb with your mane.
Yeah, maybe. I don't have that hairy chest, though. But
no, but that's like, all right. If you did the glasses and we could, you know, glue on chest.
Okay.
This is still a thing next Halloween. Maybe
the three of us could be the
Bee Gees. I'd probably have to be the ugly one, the Robin.
Yeah.
You'd make me be Robin with the overbite.
Oh, no,
I know
you'd
you guys
be Andy.
Would.
You'd have to be Andy, the young one.
You know.
But anyways, the TNT boys, Holly posted this. They did.
These are young kids. Who are they?
The TNT boys? Well, we're going to listen to them.
Someone sent this to me yesterday, a colleague of ours, and I thought it was the funniest thing. So it's young boys dressed up as the Bee Gees, and it's the letter TNT, and then here they are.
They're a boy band.
Yeah, they're hysterical.
Okay. They're not related, though.
But it's very, very, very cute, I thought.
I agree.
I thought it was cute.
Well, take a look at that. It's very cute. Really cute.
I know. They came out, this is kind of our first thing we've heard about Grandma's Marathon next summer. This is in the Star Tribune this afternoon, is that organizers said that they just want to start something and they know that they're not going to be able to have their full
7,500
runners. They typically bring in 20,000 participants. They're cutting it in half. It's already full for the marathon. And if you are wanting to get in or seeking a spot, you can contact one of the charity partners and just go to grandmasmarathon.org, I believe, and find out the charity partners, because the charity partners might have open spots under the certain charities to run.
Well, that's because, you know, it became very popular was the half marathon runners.
And you couldn't get in and you had to be in a lottery.
I mean, that became a very popular. And of course, you know, the more people, it's good for the city of Duluth. But I remember when the half marathon really started getting popular and we were as spectators that were coming to watch the real marathon.
Because Lori sees marathon running as it's almost like a
it's a
Super
spectators,
Bowl.
For me, it is
for
a Super
Lori,
Bowl.
It is.
It's only, yeah. But anyway.
Which I always thought was very odd, but I get it.
Oh,
I
grandma's,
get it now.
Rocco's been up for grandma's. He knows how much fun it is.
Yes.
It's just, I don't think there's another marathon. I've been to the finish at the St. Paul, you know, the one here. It's not crazy fun like grandma's. I'll tell you that.
No, it is. Well, it's
I never had
Sunday
that much
morning.
Fun because my wife, I'd have to wake up at like 6 a.m. and
deal with
my wife running and I'm
running
like,
that's
I'd rather
not
be
fun.
Sleeping.
Anyway, it's real. That's what it's going to cut is the half marathoners.
Oh, got it. Okay.
For participants.
Okay.
You know, I think. And maybe they're just making halves in both because also you're bunched up at that starting line.
Yeah, you are.
You know?
You are.
Well, I'm glad.
I know. I think so, too.
Canceled. Okay. And they probably have, like, testing things and stuff like that for the, like...
I'm sure.
Don't you think?
They're going to be everywhere.
Be vaccinated
I hope so. Wouldn't that be lovely? And Post Malone, you know, he did his second crossover.
People just love those
I know,
things.
But he has partnered with Croc to deliver tens of thousands... to hospital workers, to frontline people, because Crocs were the shoe of 2020. Crocs and sweatpants.
They say they're comfortable.
They are comfortable. I have two pairs. Everyone have a good night. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.